This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the confirmation battles continue on Capitol Hill. The Senate, by a vote of 52-47 yesterday, approved Jeff Sessions as the 84th Attorney General of the United States. The Senate is expected to vote on the confirmation of Dr. Tom Price for Secretary of Health and Human Services early Friday morning after the 30 hours of debate expires. Dr. Roger Marshall, congressman from Kansas, has the latest. He joins us in just a moment. And is corporate America hurting their brands with their political activism? Dr. David Black, founder of Second Vote, is here to explain. Also, Todd Starnes joins us a little bit later to talk about his new book, Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. And also, breaking news, the state of Georgia is settling a lawsuit over religious discrimination. Jeremy Dice with First Liberty is here with all those details later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right. By the way, lots of resources there for you at the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're not already receiving our daily update, you can do so by signing up, getting our legislative alerts so that you know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. All that information we provide you so your voice can make a difference. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. Also, if you'd like to partner with the Family Research Council, you can do that as well. We are here because of folks like you across this nation supporting the Family Research Council and Washington Watch. All right, Senator Jeff Sessions is headed to the Justice Department. The Senate confirmed the Alabama Republican for Attorney General by a vote of 52-47. President Trump's choice for Health and Human Services Secretary is heading to a final vote as well, as I mentioned, early in the hours of Friday, tomorrow. Joining us now is Dr. Roger Marshall, Congressman for Kansas' Big First District. He is a physician, and he is a devoted father and husband. He joins us now. Dr. Marshall, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me. I'm honored to be on your show with you.
Well, welcome to Congress. I know as a freshman lawmaker, you kind of bring a different perspective, or you have a different perspective as you see what's happening. Are you shocked by what you see playing out in these confirmation hearings of President Trump's cabinet picks?
I guess I'm not shocked with anything in Washington, Tony, which is unfortunate. Most of the congressmen and women I meet are godly people that want to solve problems. This seems to be an aberration over on the Senate side, so I sure am hoping we can get past this sooner than later.
Well, and this is a big vote coming up tomorrow morning for Dr. Tom Price, medical doctor, surgeon, going to be heading the Department of Health and Human Services, leading the effort, really, to dismantle Obamacare. Now, you yourself, you've delivered more than 5,000 babies, which clearly gives you a deep appreciation for the sanctity of human life and an intimate understanding of our health care system. How big of an issue was this in your election?
Health care in my district and across the country is a top three issue for Americans right now. A sixth of everyone's budget's going towards health care, and our health care is not improving quality-wise. We're spending more and more money, but without the quality improving. So it's a top three issue for all Americans.
And as we have seen repeatedly, Americans do not consider, the vast majority of Americans do not consider abortion health care, and certainly do not think that taxpayers should be funding it, which was a major flaw with Obamacare. Now, just recently, the Congress passed the No Taxpayer Funding of Abortion Bill, H.R. 7, by Congressman Chris Smith. What are the prospects of that actually becoming law?
I think it's tremendous. I think there's a great opportunity. I realize we don't have 60 Republicans on the Senate side to vote for, but I expect President Trump to be able to put some real pressure on these people, on the senators. There's 10 Democrat senators up for re-election in 2 years in states that President Trump won. And I have a feeling President Trump will be putting pressure on him to help pass this as well. So I'm very optimistic.
Now, Congressman Marshall, I want to play a clip. This was from yesterday when the debate was going on over Senator Sessions. And what we see is the left has really gotten to a point of desperation where, you know, and this has long been the case, where they don't want to argue based upon facts. They simply want to attack. And this is a clip of Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, an African-American in the Senate, great conservative leader. And he's reading some of the messages that he got from people across the country. I want to play this clip and get your thoughts on it.
Go on to read from folks who wanted to share their opinions about my endorsing Jeff Sessions. You are a disgrace to the black race. Anthony Burnham at Burnham R says, you are an Uncle Tom Scott. You're for Sessions. How does a black man turn on his own?
I mean, this is, these are character attacks. These are, I think, absent of any substance. I mean, what do we see going forward? I mean, is this, we have more, just, is this all we have to expect from the left going forward?
I expect more of them. I think there's hope out there, Tony, and But I'm sick of the character assassination going on through this process. This confirmation process has become totally political rather than any substance at all. And here we have Senator Scott, a well-respected, godly man, being attacked for doing what he thinks is the right choice. I'm sure he was very thoughtful on the process and reviewed Senator Sessions' background. He was confirmed, and it's time to move on. It's just a sad day that thanks to Twitter and all the social medias, people can so easily reach out and stab people in the back. It's almost too easy. And we all should be praying for Senator Scott and people like him to be able to withstand some of these personal attacks going on.
Yeah, Senator Scott has an amazing testimony of growing up in inner city with a single mom, and coming to know the Lord and the profound impact that had on his life. Solid Christian man. And, of course, he served right alongside Jeff Sessions. And there is no better way to get to know someone than working with him day in and day out in oftentimes pressured circumstances. And, you know, I think if Tim Scott, in fact, many of those Republican leaders, not all, but many of them, if they had issues with someone, one of their colleagues, I think they would stand up and say so. They would not simply fall in line because they are Republican. But the president won this race. He has appointed these members of his cabinet, 22 members, only 8 have been confirmed so far. This is the longest period of time it's taken to assemble a cabinet since George Washington was elected president. It does appear that Democrats and the left are doing nothing but trying to obstruct, to slow down, and to derail because the American people are not on their side and the facts are not on their side either.
Right. You know, Tony, as a doctor, I remember reading about death and dying for the first time, and the first steps of getting over a death situation is denial and anger, and that's what I see right now. They were just shocked, completely shocked. They thought there was no way Donald Trump could win this election, and now, frankly, they're very angry, and they're in denial, and meanwhile, they're holding up Dr. Tom Price, and it's keeping us from fixing health care. And just hope and pray we get Dr. Price confirmed in the wee hours tomorrow morning.
So, Dr. Marshall, what should our listeners be doing at this point? How can they make a difference from your perspective?
Well, obviously the senators are the ones that make this vote. And I hope that they email or contact the senators from their state in support of Dr. Tom Price. And if I could just for a second, like you just mentioned, I've got to know Dr. Price very well. I've actually known him for a year now. For whatever reason, I was able to meet him a year ago, and I've had dozens of conversations with him. He's a godly man. For such a time as this, Tom Price was born. There's not a person more qualified than Tom Price to be the HHS secretary. He's like a modern day Marcus Welby for those of us who remember the old TV show. He's won everything. The reason I became a physician was because of people like Tom Price. He has a heart for God. He has a heart for people. He understands health care as a physician. He's also worked in Congress for 8 years and rose to leadership positions there. So he understands the congressional process. He understands the financial side of it. There's not a person better in the world for this job than Tom Price. And the character assassination he's went through is absolutely, it's what keeps people from going into politics because of stuff like this.
I could not have said it better. You're absolutely right. That's why a lot of good people just stay on the sidelines, because they don't want their reputations attacked. They don't want to go through this. But I have worked with Tom Price ever since he arrived in Congress 8 years ago. Worked with him in leadership positions, as you mentioned. He was the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, one of the conservative caucuses in the House. Worked very closely with him. That position. He has I think, without question, for the 8 years he's been here, 100% rating with the Family Research Council, True Blue member, pro-life, pro-family. And I guess to your point, Congressman Marshall, I don't know of anyone who is better equipped to go into Department of Health and Human Services and correct all that has been done in the last 8 years by the Obama administration, that someone who is a physician, understands the medical field, B, understands bureaucracy in Congress, and can get it done. And so I think you're absolutely correct. And I think that is why the left is fighting so hard to keep him out of that post.
Exactly. And, you know, it's hard for us to present a plan until we get him confirmed. The president has a plan. The Trump administration has a plan. Dr. Price has a plan, but we need to get it confirmed so we can get on down the road and get to work. This Congress is ready to work with this president, and I absolutely believe everything that I've heard from the Trump administration and their transition team and Dr. Price that there is a plan that can work. And we're not going to push anybody off the cliff. We're not going to pull the rug out from anybody. If you're on an exchange program right now, we're going to allow plenty of transition. And it's my firm belief that the alternatives we're going to give you, people will be running off their Affordable Care Act plans and their $12,000 deductibles. So we need to get him confirmed so we can get this country moving.
Well, we certainly will work toward that end. Congressman Marshall, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Great to have you on the program.
Tony, it's an honor. Thank you for all you do and your radio. We appreciate it very much. Have a great week.
All right. Thanks, Roger. That's Congressman Roger Marshall from the 1st District of Kansas, the big one, they call it. Excuse me. All right, folks, there's your action steps, your action items right there. Call your senators. You can call the switchboard at 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121 is the congressional switchboard. That's Capitol switchboard. Tell them what state you're from. You need to talk to your senators and encourage them to support Tom Price for Secretary of Health and Human Services. Top-notch guy. He's going to do a good job. No doubt in my mind about that. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about a new poll finds that Democrats and Republicans view corporations differently and the values they embrace. That's next with Dr. Black of Second Vote. Don't go away.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we've been leading these tours to Washington, D.C. for almost 20 years, and we've never had a response like we've had this year. We're going to fill up early for both our June and our September Spiritual Heritage Tours. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way, taking your questions and interacting with the group. We're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown as well on a separate tour that just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour. So, you'd like to go on one or both of these trips, you can find out all the information, all the details at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com. 2017 may be your year to join us on one of these spiritual heritage tours.
The Rapid Response Arm of 8 Days of Hope is responding to tornado victims in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. On January 21st, a tornado severely damaged hundreds of homes and killed 4 people. Will you please volunteer to help Hattiesburg residents? Here's 8 Days of Hope director, Steve Tiber.
We need your help today. I mean, it's that simple. We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know, the best sermon I ever heard was the one I saw. We're just there to love others as God commands us. And here's where you and I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
To volunteer to help with Hattiesburg Tornado Relief, please visit 8daysofhope.com. Financial donations are also needed to support this ministry effort. To give, please visit 8daysofhope.com and pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this devastating tornado. 8 Days of Hope is a nonprofit Christian ministry.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of 6, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right. According to a new poll, Republicans and Democrats differ sharply in public opinion on companies that have waded into the political battles. Now, we talked a lot about this in the last few weeks, as we've seen, especially this week, as we saw the Super Bowl ads, and how we've got a number of these top companies coming out against Donald Trump and his policies. Now, we've been seeing the stage set for this for some time. As the left, right after the election, when they realized they had lost the battle for controlling government, they began to shift to corporations. Now, this transition has been going on for some time because they've really lost grip of states. And so state governments, they have really not a whole lot of control over. And so they're squeezing these corporations. I mean, that's what we saw in North Carolina. Well, this Harris poll released its annual corporate reputation survey on Thursday. And this was conducted from between November the 29th and December the 6th. About 24,000 people were surveyed on this. And the poll found that Republicans hold Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby in higher regard than Democrats. Not surprising. Democrats, meanwhile, are more likely to hold a favorable view of Target than Republicans. Of course, the key is who's going to act on that favorability rating and who's going to spend money at your store? Or would it just be safer for you to stay out of these public policy debates and sell your widgets? Joining me now to talk about it is Dr. David Black. He is the founder of Second Vote. Dr. Black, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Well, let me ask you that question. Would businesses be better just selling widgets than getting involved in the public policy debates?
Well, we certainly think so. We think businesses ought to stick to business, that if you're selling a product or a service, you ought to be focused on doing the best job possible for your customer, and don't try to be a social engineering firm. Just be a company that sells your product or service and provide the best possible service to your customer.
Well, SecondVote.com helps consumers know whether or not the businesses, the corporations that they conduct business with are actually doing that. Explain how that works.
Well, so we launched in 2013 with the idea that corporations were becoming more and more involved, and we felt that the conservatives especially needed to know more about this. The liberal side, the other side, has been very active for many years in pushing corporations into these social issues. And what we wanted to be was a counterbalance. We wanted to be able to provide assurance to corporations that if they choose not to engage in the social engineering activities, that there's a large body of people out there that would appreciate that and would remain loyal to them. And so we've tried to inform individuals who use our app or come to our website about how active corporations are and what they're doing with the money you're spending with them. And, you know, a fundamental to our effort is that we believe America is still fundamentally American, that we have folks that still primarily believe in bomb, apple pie, and the flag, and that in a lot of instances, it's our money that's being used against our principles and our beliefs. So if folks know where that money is going and how these companies are being socially active, they can make a better decision about where they spend their money. But hopefully they will communicate to these companies and ask them to just disengage from the social issues.
Well, Dr. David Black, let me ask you, 3 years now of experience with SecondVote.com, do you see, and plus the polling data, like we see here from this this poll, do you see people changing their spending habits to match their values so that there is a, you know, they're in harmony with the people they do business with?
We believe that's happening. We have seen some success. We're seeing corporations respond to the activity. I think you're aware that right before Christmas, we had Macy's department stores contact us to ask us to change their score on Planned Parenthood because they were going to discontinue funding Planned Parenthood, and they were exiting involvement in the life issue. And but we also ran a very strong campaign, among other organizations, on the Target, the bathroom policy by Target that makes no common sense. And you saw the retail for Christmas was up for most retailers about 4%, but Target was down 3%. So we think that there's been a 7% impact on Target's bottom line by the fact that people don't want to have Target promoting a very far-left LGBTQ agenda. And so I think we're beginning to see some activity, but I will say that after all these years of working on Second Vote, I'm very concerned that those who are committed to the other side of many of these issues seem extremely committed, very well organized, and our folks who have the faith in the fundamentals of America have not yet responded as strongly as they could, and we hope to continue to see greater progress.
Well, and to do that, that's the whole purpose behind Second Vote, to equip them with an understanding of where these corporations stand on key issues. Very quickly, we're out of time. On this this poll, I want to get your thoughts very quickly on this. Of the bottom five of the list of 100, topping that was Halliburton, Monsanto, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo. What contributed to their bottom ranking among their this reputation survey?
Well, I would think that it's because these are companies that have long been engaged in the social issues. Wells Fargo has been a leader in the LGBTQ community, and Goldman Sachs, their presidency, their executive team for years had led bigger government and greater promotion of these far-left agenda issues. So, I think Americans are beginning to wake up. They're looking at how these corporations are behaving and what their leadership is doing, and I think that awareness is leading to this kind of survey outcome.
And we just need to back it up with our dollars. Dr. David Black, founder of Second Vote, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for allowing me to be on the show. Thank you.
All right. Hey, folks, check it out, secondvote.com, or go to tonyperkins.com. Look, my family uses it. Be responsible. Be good stewards of what you have and do not give your money to those who are going to use it against you. SecondVote.com. All right, coming up next, do judges need to be vetted like refugees and immigrants wanting to come into the country? Fox News' Todd Starnes thinks so. He'll be here to talk about that and his book, The Deplorables, The Guide to Making America Great Again. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, it looks like oil prices are getting a little bit stronger, primarily due to the data that came out indicating that there was a much higher or better than expected demand from U.S. gasoline inventories. Yes, gasoline. Now, this would not, by any stretch of the imagination, be considered a driving season, but inventories in gasoline went down almost a million barrels, just short of a million barrels last week. So obviously gasoline stocks easing will bring some concerns that crude oil supplies may be going down. I don't know if we can be concerned, but nonetheless, it is helping oil prices and stock prices right now. One of the things that we're looking at is a lot of news coming out, economic news. It seems to be the only place we're getting real economic news coming out of the Eurozone. A lot going on over in the Eurozone, too much to be talking about. But Asia also, we got that report that Japan, of course, was going to build an LCD, a flat screen plant here, spending $7 billion doing so. Soon after that, we see reports that apparently the dollar is getting stronger against the yen, and they're saying that there's just no buying of the U.S. dollar coming out of Japan. The funny part is they're citing uncertainty in fiscal policy in the U.S. Amazing. They're about 8 years behind the curve. We've had uncertainty. Frankly, we've had no fiscal policy in the last 8 years and uncertainty in the last 10 years. And they're just now talking about uncertainty in fiscal policy as being an issue for their currency.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch, and I'm Tony Perkins, and the website is just that, TonyPerkins.com. Check it out. Lots of resources there for you. And by the way, Capital Switchboard number, again, 202-224-3121. The vote tomorrow morning to confirm Dr. Tom Price will be taking place, so contact your senators and weigh in, especially if you have Democratic senators who are voting as a block against all the president's nominees under the direction of Chuck Schumer. All right. In one of his latest columns, Todd Starnes, the host of Fox News and commentary and bestselling author, contends in his column that we need extreme vetting in the judicial system, just as we would do immigrants coming to this country, making point to the Ninth Circuit Court opinion in the last couple of days. By the way, Todd's also has a new book coming out, The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again, and he's joining us now to talk about it. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
We're going to talk about that book, but let's first talk about this extreme vetting of judges. Tell me about it.
This has been a significant problem for quite some time. For all the way back to the Eisenhower administration, and it's also an issue, the president. You know, when Democrats.
Hey, hold on. We're missing about every other word of you there. Let's hold on. Let's make sure we get to. I don't want anybody to miss something that Todd is saying. So let's make sure we get a clean connection with him. By the way, to find out about his book, I've given an endorsement of it, The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Great book. He's been working on for quite some time. But the key work that Todd does is one of the reasons that we have him on quite frequently, is that he is tracking what is happening across the country because folks like you call him. He gives a platform. And, in fact, his articles on the Fox News site are the most widely read. And I just want to encourage you to continue to read them and share them with your friends because the top dogs there at Fox, they pay attention to that, right? That means a lot. And so that continues to give them a good platform to get this information back. All right, I think we've got him back. Todd, we were missing every word. I did not want to miss a word you said, so welcome back.
Well, thanks, Tony. And what I was trying to say was that when Democrats nominate liberal justices or judges, they stay liberal once they get on the bench. But for Republicans, they'll nominate a conservative judge or constitutionalist, but once they get on the bench, their gavels go wobbly and they become liberal. So this is why it's important, I believe, for the Republicans and for President Trump to engage in some extreme vetting, not just on the border, but also in our courtrooms.
You know, that's a great point, because I don't know of any liberal judge that was appointed to the bench that turned out to be conservative. Do you know of any?
I don't know of any. And this is an issue because not just because of the Supreme Court, but also because of the lower courts. And Tony, we're already facing that situation right now with the president's temporary immigration ban, which I believe is a prudent measure. But again, what happened? An activist judge appointed by President Bush put a block on that order. So, and by the way, we should be getting a ruling by the end of business today from the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court. And we all know about that particular district court.
Yeah, right. You're absolutely correct. When you look at you got district court judges, you have appellate court judges, and then of course you have the Supreme Court judges. District courts, I mean, those are like, they're pushed through Congress or the Senate like a dime a dozen. In fact, you can go back and look at most votes for Republicans in particular, that the Republicans vote for all of them, even when the Democrats put them up, generally speaking. Now, we've seen a little bit of a change of that under the Obama administration because of just how radical of judges they were putting forth. But they do not vet them the way they should. All right, Todd, let's talk about your latest book out this week, The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again.
Well, thanks, Tony. I'm really excited about this book. It is a handbook for Christians on how to be good citizens in America. And, of course, the title is derived from something Hillary Clinton said on the campaign trail when she described those people who support traditional marriage and support American sovereignty as a basket of irredeemable deplorables. And I really take the word deplorable as a badge of honor, but I do take exception to the word irredeemable. What Hillary Clinton told voters back in 2016 is that your belief system is so egregious that you are beyond redemption. And Tony, quite frankly, I believe that was the turning point for many voters who cast their ballots for Donald Trump.
It was. And you know, when she said that the night at which Donald Trump had spoken at the Values Voters Summit to all the Values voters, and that's when she made that comment that evening.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And so, again, I think it goes back to what President Obama said back in 2007 about the folks, not in the Deep South, but in the Rust Belt, about them being a bunch of gun-toting, Bible-clinging, bitter Americans. Tony, this is what the left thinks about people who hold on to and cherish traditional American values. And here's the challenge that I put forward in the Deplorables Guide. It's time for Christians to take a stand, a very public stand. And I explain how to do that in this book and still maintain your good, solid Christian witness. You know, we're to be ambassadors for Christ even when we're taking a stand for religious liberty here in America.
Well, and we're going to encourage people to pick up a copy and learn how to do it. Todd Starnes, thanks so much for being with us. As always, great to have you. Folks, don't go away. We're back after this.
So the election is over. The inaugural festivities are done. Now it's time to get to work. The new administration has promised a lot. But do you know what Donald Trump will do during his first 100 days in office? Family Research Council has laid out a conservative playbook for the president-elect to follow in order to repair some of the damage done by the Obama administration's liberal elite special interests. The first 100 days of the Trump administration will be a critical window of opportunity to accomplish a host of policy initiatives that will protect the sanctity of life, natural marriage, and religious liberty. In a timely panel discussion, FRC experts, along with March for Life President Jeannie Mancini, lay out a game plan for executive actions and judicial appointments that the Trump administration can do in its first 100 days to advance religious liberty and the dignity of human life. Visit frc.org/first100 to view this policy discussion.
American Family Association invites you to Fusion, a Heart Cry for Revival conference. It's a trying time for our nation, and we urge Christian leaders to join us as we seek Christ together. We'll learn, pray, and strategize for action. Join us April 23rd through the 27th at the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. Register at heartcryforrevival.org.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here. And I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Washington Watch, and I am privileged to be your host, Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at tperkins. Again, check out the website. Lots of resources there for you. Capital switchboard number, 202-224-3121. Confirmation vote coming up on Congressman Tom Price for Secretary of Health and Human Services. He'll be nine. He'll be the ninth one out of 22, so a lot more to go. And this is going to be every inch of ground we take is going to be a fight. All right? And anyway, check that website out. But I wanted to remind you, I mentioned this yesterday, for those of you who live where I do, back in Louisiana, and in the area around Baton Rouge, or anywhere in the States if you can get there, we have... this Friday night at my home church, Greenville Springs Baptist Church, Charles Billingsley is going to be in concert with his band. Great time of praise and worship. Come out and join us 7 p.m. Friday night at Greenville Springs Baptist Church. It's, you can get there. Might have to leave soon, but anyway, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth the drive. All right, a big victory against religious discrimination. In the state of Georgia, today, First Liberty Institute announced they reached a settlement agreement between the state of Georgia and First Liberty's client, Dr. Eric Walsh. Now, the state of Georgia agreed to pay him $225,000 to settle Dr. Walsh's religious discrimination suit. It's been going on for about 2 years. And joining us now to talk about it is the attorney who handled that case, Jeremy Dice. Jeremy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tony. Good to be back.
All right. Just for the benefit of some of our listeners that may not remember this case, give the facts, the details, and then the outcome.
Yeah, Dr. Walsh was a leader in the field of public health. He applied for a job in the state of Georgia as a director of public health, was hired by the state of Georgia. Dr. Walsh also happens to be a lay minister, and that came out during the course of his interviews. And after he had been hired, the state of Georgia asked for copies of for him to submit some of his sermons. And trying to be a good employee, he did so. They went out also and found some more that were in various places around the internet. And a couple days later, after they watched them, dividing them up amongst themselves, about 10 hours worth of sermons, from what we can tell, they fired Dr. Walsh. Not only did they fire him, they forgot to hang up the phone when they called to fire him, and they left it running only to hear laughter and joking about how they were firing this guy. It was really, really quite tragic. So we filed a lawsuit a couple years ago on this matter because it's illegal to fire someone for something they've said in a sermon, and have been prosecuting this case for, 2 years now. We're very pleased at this very clear, resounding victory for religious freedom. Knowing that the law has been on our side from the beginning here, and that the state of Georgia now has agreed to settle this case for $225,000. That's a great victory for Dr. Walsh.
Now, clearly, they decided to settle it. They did not want this to go to court because the facts, what I have seen, what have been presented overwhelmingly, do not bode well for the state of Georgia.
Yeah, they were bad enough from the beginning, and then, as you recall, Tony, I mean, FRC was key to this. We had a big press conference down in Atlanta back in October to announce the fact that in the middle of this litigation, the state of Georgia had demanded that Dr. Walsh turn over all of his sermon notes and transcripts. That's a really broad request, and I frankly think it was because of many of the listeners to Washington Watch that we ended up in the mediation room, which resulted in the settlement of $225,000 for Dr. Walsh.
Yeah, what was amazing to me, Jeremy, is that they did that. And this was post-Houston, Texas, where the mayor of Texas subpoenaed the sermons of pastors, five pastors there in Houston, Texas, that preached against their former mayor's bathroom bill. And, I mean, the outcry nationally to that was overwhelming. So how in the world the state of Georgia thought they could get away with this is beyond me.
Yeah, you know, that was just the city in Houston that did that. Think about it. It was the state of Georgia that came after Dr. Walsh's sermons, like kicking down the door and going through his study, trying to find evidence to use against him in a lawsuit. It just really was remarkable. But, you know, the most important thing here, I guess there's two things. Number one, the principle that you can't fire someone for something they said in the sermon is upheld. Religious liberty has been protected here. That's crucial and very important. But, you know, Dr. Walsh had become something of a friend with him over the course of the last 2 years. I'm just so pleased to see his good name restored. Here's a man who couldn't find a job in public health after the Department of Public Health fired him. He went over to be a medical missionary overseas for a while. He's working now back in California doing some medical work now, but I hope that this resolution, this settlement of $225,000 goes far and wide to all the states to reinvigorate his good name and that he'll be able to pursue his career in the field of public health once again.
Well, let me talk about one of the other possible outcomes here. Does this send a message to other employers, both public and private, about religious discrimination?
Well, you know, I can tell you this, Tony, that there are various publications that go out to human resources directors across the country, and they'll get a little notification that a six-figure settlement has been obtained against the state of Georgia for their unlawful discrimination against Dr. Walsh's religious beliefs. And they're going to start paying attention to that. And then you pile that on top of all the other cases that are out there, and you can go to firstliberty.org to read more about the ones that are there. You know, when Dr. Walsh is willing to stand up, when people are willing to stand up on these issues, we're able to win, and that sends a very strong message to employers that you shouldn't fire someone based upon their religious beliefs.
Let me underscore something you just said, because it applies to many of our listeners or some of our listeners out there. When someone stands up, that's a key part. You cannot win these cases in court unless someone is willing to come forward and say, I have been discriminated against because of my faith or because of my free exercise of religion. If they don't come forward and take a stand, we can't do anything.
Yeah, look, we lose 100% of the cases we never bring. Yeah, and I think of Dr. Walsh. He didn't go looking for a fight. The fight came to him. And I got to tell you, it was hard for him. And it was hard for a while on his family and people around him. But he was willing to continue to stand because he knew that if he were to be victorious, that would make a big difference, not only for employees in the state of Georgia, but throughout the entire country. It would send a message that the law is clear as we thought it was. You can't fire someone from your job or make other employment decisions based upon someone's religious beliefs.
Well, and to the cases that you do argue on these issues of religious freedom, religious discrimination, about 9 out of 10, you win. So when we do stand up and fight, we almost always win.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think back a couple of years ago to a little publisher or a little editor of a newspaper in small town Iowa who was fired for similar things. He'd written something in defense of Scripture on his blog, on his personal time, and his employer fired him there. You know, we won that case, too. The terms of that settlement don't let me reveal how much we won, but I can tell you he's very, very happy at what he was able to settle for. There are other lawsuits that we've brought, and we've won. And so I'm pleased that we continue to have such success here. In one part, I'm sad that we even have to bring the suits, but I'm heartened to know that when people are willing to stand up for their religious beliefs and to push back against these unlawful actions by employers, including states like the state of Georgia, they're winning to the tune of $225,000. That's important.
Absolutely. It's critical. Jeremy Dice, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. As always, great to talk with you.
Likewise, Tony. Thanks so much.
All right, Jeremy Dice with First Liberty, doing great work on religious freedom. And folks, don't be silent. It's time to stand up. It's time to stand up, and just as the Apostle Paul did, and exercise his rights. He exercised his rights as a Roman citizen. You and I need to respectfully, in a godly manner, exercise our rights as Americans. All right, I'm going to try to take a couple phone calls here. It's Thursday, Thankful Thursday. 866-372-7234. Excuse me. What are you thankful for? You know, I'm thankful that what I see happening here in America is an opportunity. It's a reprieve, if you will. We've talked about it. But as we are emboldened to stand for truth, to stand for our constitutional freedoms and rights, we can win. And we can, you know, we can take back some of the territory culturally that's been lost in this country. Of course, final solution is not going to be gained by politics. But as we provide for the freedom to live out our faith and share our faith, we'll see people impacted by that, coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And when that happens, a transformation of the heart takes place. And when the transformation of the heart takes place, a life is changed, a family's impacted, a community is impacted. But it all starts with you and I being willing to live out our faith, share our faith wherever we are. And that's what we've been losing in our culture, in our country, especially in the last 8 years. And now we have an opportunity to regain that. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for our listeners here on Washington Watch that take action on the things that we put out there for you to do. Again, let me give you that Capitol switchboard number, 202-224-3121. That's the Capitol switchboard number to call. Weigh in on Dr. Tom Price. By the way, just a little news item here. The governor of Alabama is moving quickly to fill the Senate seat vacated by Jeff Sessions as he was sworn in last night as the nation's 84th attorney general. Today, he was sworn in today by Vice President Mike Pence. Robert Bentley, the Republican governor of Alabama, appointed the state attorney general Luther Strange to the job. Bentley praised Strange's work in coordinating litigation for the Gulf states after the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in 2010. So he'll take, very quickly, will take the place of Senator Sessions and will immediately begin voting on these other confirmations that are put forth. All right, let's go to Louisiana. Let's talk to Kelly. Kelly, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony.
How you doing? Well, oh, Iowa. I'm sorry. Yeah, go right ahead.
I'm just thankful for all that you folks do at the Family Research Council. I'm thankful for the ground that we're making up with this new administration, and we just need to keep praying that our country will be revived.
Praying and working. Kelly, absolutely right. It is a combination of both. We need to be praying, and I think the outcome of this election was in large part the prayer, but it was also the engagement of evangelicals, of Christians, of social conservatives getting involved in the process. You're absolutely right, Kelly. We need to continue to pray and continue to work, because America will never be great again until America is good, morally good and solid. And that's why those policies that would lead to such or uphold such a standard need to be part of the Trump administration. And that's one of the things we'll continue to advocate for. And that's why I remind people, just because we won the election, the work is not over. It's really just beginning. A lot of ground to retake, a lot of damage to be undone from the last 8 years of the Obama administration. Kelly, thank you so much for listening and calling in. Let's go to Alabama, where George is on the line. George, welcome to Washington Watch.
How are you doing, Ms. Perkins?
I'm great. Thank you, sir. How are you?
Oh, doing well, sir. I just called and let you know I appreciate what you do, sir. Stand up as a Christian minister and standing on the word of God. And all the stuff that's going on now, if Christians don't take a stand, we'll be silent. So I just want to say I appreciate your show. I enjoy listening to it, and keep doing what you're doing, sir.
Well, thank you, George. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Good to hear from you today. And as long as folks like you keep listening and supporting us across the country, we'll stay right here working for you on Capitol Hill with the legislators that you help elect to shape our policies and our programs so that they are God-honoring. And then we'll continue to keep folks across this great country informed of what's going on. All right, let's go to Missouri, where Dustin is on the line. Dustin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Sir, thank you very much for your time, and I do appreciate the work that y'all do. I'm a bit concerned about the witness that is going on in regards to FBI or FBI answers FBI. You say that the ties have been cut between SPLC and the FBI, but they're still on their website as a public outreach. Can you help me understand your statements or the statements in the article versus what we find on the FBI website?
Let me check on that, Dustin, because the FBI, the Southern Poverty Law Center is what Dustin's making reference to. They were used as a source for the Justice Department, and they have since removed them. Now, maybe they have got them someplace else on the website. Thank you for tipping us off on that, Dustin. I will go to work on that immediately and find out. And if that is the case, we'll bring that to the attention of the proper authorities. The Southern Poverty Law Center has been linked to domestic terrorism. The only case of domestic terrorism adjudicated in Washington, D.C. since the law was adopted in the wake of 9/11. Bad group. Anti-Christian group, bad group. Hey, folks, thanks so much for listening today. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls. Dustin, I'll get an answer for you next week. All right, folks, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.